So what about if we talk about the constitution as a solution? You mentioned this before as well. One of the points that is brought up in the fall of the Republic is that they're trying to destroy the constitution, and in one sense, the solution to this problem that they're identifying in fall of the Republic is to go back to the constitution again and uphold that. What problem do you have with that, so to speak?
Well, it's nonsense. And it's a long story. I've written it in the Constitution Con article. Maybe we can put a link on tonight's interview. But basically, in a nutshell, is that there was a quote that, if people go and watch the Fall of the Republic, Alex makes a comment about how he absolutely feels that it's important for the people to downsize. Maybe it was him or somebody he was interviewing, completely do away with the Federal Reserve and hand the money-making process, right, the money-printing process, over to the federal government.
Mm, yeah.
And I nearly just drowned in my teacup. You know, tea was all over the table. I'm going, what?
Right.
Please don't tell me. So, you know, and I had to rewind because I just couldn't believe it. And sure enough, it was, let's downsize and let's put Alan Greenspan on the dole, which sounds great. I was with him up until that point. Good idea. Right? Let's close the Federal Reserve. Excellent. I'll be there. And then they're saying the next thing, and put the money printing, minting, whatever you want to call it. And of course, this involves, you know, the loans to various institutions and the debts and the tax. In other words, bring all the money making aspects of banking out of the international Federal Reserve system and give it to the federal government.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
All right. What can you say about that, except that that is utter nonsense? Because the Federal Reserve is identical. Can you tell me that one head of the Hydra is basically, you know, not the same as the other head?
Mm, well, I can't.
Right. So the federal government, and I mean even both sides of the three houses and the two parties, the Federal Reserve and every other federal organization, including the IRS and all the rest of it, and there's many others, all of these people come under the federal circle, the District of Columbian federalist circle that is nothing more than a branch or tentacle of the European and British oligarchical establishment. And again, I refer people to John Coleman and others, you know, who maybe they're not up to speed on that aspect. But the thing is this. How can one head of the Hydra bite off the other head and hope that that's going to be a solution?
Right. Mm.
And more specifically speaking, is that to prove this point, and I, even if people want to read the whole article, it's in the very first few lines. They can read just 10 lines and they'll get the whole thing. And that is that in the Constitution, the wording, even though on the surface it appears to negate and block oligarchy, remember that's just a word, you can interpret it in many ways. Even though on the surface it appears to block royalty and oligarchs from rising, actually in the wording and the grammar of it, it leaves the door wide open for that to take place. For instance, it's the use of the word for and of, or United States and United States of America and so on. It's in the actual grammar. So when the Alex Joneses and other people of his ilk come along and talk about how devilish and how monstrous and how these draconian, Orwellian evil arcs are doing their best to crush the Constitution, then he and I are totally, you know, he's playing tennis and I'm playing snooker. We're not in the same court at all.
Mm-hmm.
Because of a simple fact. They are upholding the Constitution. It's their document. They wrote it. They entered in the grammar that is the sham, you see, that plays the, that makes people into a sucker, you know, through the parchment idolatry.
Mm, right.
They've created the syntax. They've created the loopholes. They are serving the Constitution. This is what the Alex Jones fails to understand. The Constitution is no salvation for mankind at all. If he is talking about, if he wanted to say, look, we need to draw up a completely new Constitution or Articles of Confederation, hey, I'm suddenly understanding what he's talking about. If he's talking about states gaining back their individual, you know, sovereign rights, listen, I'm with him.
Mm.
If he's talking about like what the Native American Indians do, where they literally make their own state sovereign, and they try to get back to legal sovereignty, hey, I'll throw my 2 cents in there. I'll get in line. And if he's talking about getting America out of internationalistic politics and breaking off from the NATO and breaking off from UN, and breaking off from the EU, hey, shake his hand, no problem, right? We go out for a beer. But how on earth can you possibly tell me that these presidents who are elected, selected, I mean, are not, how can you tell me that they are eviscerating the Constitution? This is the problem. And this is why, of course, then I wonder whether they'll ever come to a solution. Because, yes, you can demolish the Federal Reserve. With it, you might as well demolish the Constitution, because the Constitution has within it the phraseology that allows federal orgs to rise. That's why they rose. And it wasn't just 30 years ago, as he points out, with the rise of Roosevelt. It was hundreds of years ago at the time of Andrew Jackson.
So what you're saying, Michael, is that this basically, because of the legalese contained in the document signed and written by the Masonic founding fathers, that is incorporated into the plan, so to speak, in order to lawfully and legally set up this type of government. Is that what you're saying? Yeah,
that's exactly it. And it's been going for a long, long, long time. In fact, every other pestilence that has come about economically and socially, including the wars, including the War of Independence, including the rise of the First National Bank, which, by the way, is clearly funded by Europe. People know about the Rothschilds, but they need to dig a bit deeper. And if they scroll down in my article on the Constitution Con, I've got the whole story there. Then you talk about, say we do move up forward to the period of Roosevelt with the Bretton Woods Agreement and the opening of the United Nations and the New Deal and the new covenants of Clinton, or say you go up to Watergate and all of it. Of course, the signing of man as a slave onto debt slavery, which happened around 1934, you know, where the birth certificate was entered into the maritime law concept,
yes.
You see?
Yes.
Or whether you move up even further to the situations that are happening now, where again, the actual wealth is being looted, whether you look at the unlimited immigration, whether you look at the unlimited outsourcing, whether you look at the unlimited downsizing of all the heavy industry in America, all these other particular forms of travesty and tragedy have happened because, as I say, the original document was left wide open. You yourself have had an article on Red Ice that shows that Washington was in league with the British Masons.
Yeah.
Right? Even movies are starting to whistle blow this. Mm. I've been saying it for years. Benjamin Franklin, his code name was Moses. He was a Freemason. He was members of the French Grand Orient Lodges of Freemasonry. He was in with all the Nine Sisters Lodges. He was in with the Templars. He was in with the Hellfire Clubs. He was in with all of these people, and he worked in this country as a fifth columnist. His controllers, his original mentors, were all British agents. Yeah. And I would say that this goes for some of the key figures in the creation of the federal system. But that federal system has to go completely. But they are a nest of vipers, just like Jackson said, and they know how to twist the mind of the ordinary people to make it look like they're legit. They also, of course, in 200 years, have been able to seed all the individual states, not including the churches, but all the different sovereign boards, sovereign councils, with their own internationalists. They've done this. Colonel Mandel House, you see, and the great thinkers who were behind them, and many of them, not great, of course, but perverse thinkers, taught them how to do this, that you're never going to be able to take America down unless you first put your agents into the mayors, make them into governors, yeah. Make them police chiefs, make them the top judges and justices of the peace, you know, make them the top ambassadors. And this is how you do it. And you put them even in the heads of institutions. And my message always, people can read even part one of my article, which is called Weapons of Mass Destruction Found. I make the point in that article, Henrik, that how come it is that man, the American man, has forgotten who his enemies are?
Right, just my question, yeah.
Alex Jones never brings this up. This is another criticism I have of him, and not just him, but many others. How is it, and I would, this my message here now goes out to everyone who's from America listening to this. How on earth are you, you know, sort of pulling your hair out and wondering, you know, what are all these monstrosities and alien forces doing? Haven't you worked out? It's only 200 years old. It's really not that hard. You've forgotten who the enemy is? You've forgotten that, do you know that the Pope of Rome, we have the quotes, actually declared the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution to be evil?
Mm-hmm.
And yet his Jesuit Opus Dei lackeys are controlling almost every major city in America, including the presidency, and including people like Blair converting to Catholicism.
Yeah.
And these are the people who openly declared, never refuted, never retracted, said that the documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution were evil. Then you go to the Queen of England and her forefathers, and you have George III on paper. It's in the article. They can go and read it, where he say he declares eternal war. That's his own words. Eternal war on Americans.
Mm.
After they know the first skirmish was fought and the British Army was thrown out. So anyone who imagines that these guys are not still working their way, the only thing is that they did it using the Fabian movement. They did it with the whole idea of what David Icke calls the totalitarian tiptoe.
Yes, that's right.
Or they did it by the sheep and wolf clothing, the gradual Hegelian dialectical movement, slowly, gradually, so that you don't see it happening. It's the same with the communitarians. They're all the same group. It's a big Fabian network because they know how to fight you with guns and bombs and troops, but they know that they have other forms of war when that doesn't work. These people are expert at it. They've worked surreptitiously throughout the aeons, and they know exactly that if they can't take you with weapons in an open conflict, they do not give up. They're going to continue again, and coming full circle to what I was saying earlier, the federal document, these constitutions, and including the Bill of Rights, even though that's marginally better, are all created by these people to give the American the idea that he actually has some legitimate, like you say, through the legalese, gives him an illusion of freedom when really it's liberty. Instead of democracy and freedom, he has this oligarchical plutocratic control. And do you know what happened? They bought it. And America fell asleep, became apathetic and decadent, narcissistic, and that is exactly the reason. It ties in with psychology anyway. After all, never forget that one of the greatest patriots in American history, Henrik, is the famous Thomas Paine.
Yeah, yeah.
He not only wrote on the Druids, he not only was an amazing humanitarian, but he also said something of incredible importance in his greatest work, The Rights of Man. He said that to understand the nature and quantity of government proper for man, it is necessary to attend to his character. So it's exactly the point that I'm making in different terminology. In order to understand what kind of government is right for man, you must examine man himself.
Yeah.
This is one of the greatest founding fathers. Yeah, one of the greatest lights in American and British history. And he's saying nothing more than what Jung and Freud and others have said. If you want to know the kind of civilization that a man will create, you must study man's complexion, his psychological complexion. And I believe, you see, that man's psychic inner complexion is very, very toxic and unhealthy. We pointed this out in the DVD. And this is why you have all of these other manifestations. Now, you can run around with a broomstick trying to clear up all the beaches, all the sand on the beach if you want. And to a certain extent, that's what's happening with a lot of these other investigators and teachers and so on. It's like what we call putting the cart before the horse. Or you can fund one, you know, you now have the opportunity in this new age of awakening to finally get hold. It doesn't mean let go of the other threads. It doesn't mean let go of the other reins. But it says that you can finally get hold of the real weaponry. Because the highest form of weaponry against all tyranny is psychological understanding. Because it's that kind of understanding that gives you the immunity to not be vulnerable to the enemy, whatever that enemy might be. In other words, it's education. You can't have the awakening, and you can't have the revelation, and you can't have the you'll never have the revelation or the awakening without the education first.
So the recent onslaught on America, be that if we look at it from the point of view of it being the Rothschild-controlled Goldman Sachs try to undermine America economically, or if it's the White House administration, either under Bush or Obama, it doesn't matter. You know, there's no pretty much big change there either. All of this goes back to a deeper enemy, and that's what you're saying. So instead of focusing just on the surface level, again, we need to go deeper than just this first level of obvious conspiracy and manipulation, Michael.
That's right. You have to get beyond the idea that it's just a bunch of greedy corporations. And there's many people who could have watched Fall of the Republic and come away with just that feeling. You could have come away with the erroneous feeling, if you weren't listening very carefully, or you were a newcomer to this, that, oh, I see, it's just the evil World Bank, or it's just the evil Federal Reserve. Well, let's get rid of those corporations and let's go and vote about it. And as if that's going to end the world predicament, the world tyranny, or man's existential problems. Don't forget that the religion plays a big part of this as well. But what has happened is Well, let's go back again to this whole question of constitutionalism. Another huge loophole. Remember I said that there was loopholes left in the original constitution, so that left the door open for oligarchy to come back in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Another crucial mistake, and people are going to hate me for this, but it's my opinion, and that is that I believe that when the constitution made it up okay for all religions to flourish in America, that was a crucial mistake.
Explain.
Because, of course, well, one of the greatest enemies of America is not only the oligarchs, but it's the Vatican.
Right, right.
And
but,
of course,
but what about the idea that if we don't have freedom for all, there is freedom for none?
I don't believe that.
Mm.
And I believe that it was a mistake to... that's not to say that they couldn't have let people have religious beliefs.
Right, yeah.
But they shouldn't have written it into the legalese that churches and all sorts of religions, I don't care if it's some whatever weird Jim Jones, Anton LaVey, thing, all the way up to some gimmicky guru new age stuff you see, and all between in between. I even believe that there was danger with the so-called Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, who I've always had down as just pan-Masonic organizations.
Yes,
and they were there. They were planted in America to be embryonic, so that there could be an explosion of that same old Judaic, Zionistic, Sionistic, Gaonum nonsense, Atnas nonsense. They were already put in there in embryo, but I think that they scaled it back because they realized it wouldn't work. They still wanted this normal Vatican Latin Catholicism to erupt. And remember, the original Protestant church within America, not that I'm a Protestant or I'm not telling you that I'm making a bias here, I'm just a statement of a fact, and that it was meant to be based on a Protestant religion, as only people like, what's his name, John Phelps would be happy to chime in and confirm this.
Right.
And of course, he has valid points there. But the point being that the original pastors, the original Protestant clergy's job was not just to minister unto you from the story of Christ. They were actually meant to educate their congregations in the bane of Catholicism and Vatican religion. That's what they were meant to do. Very few now do it, almost none. And the reason is because they were all infiltrated. The Jesuits have basically taken out all the original. They've infiltrated all the Lutheran and Protestant churches to make sure that this doesn't happen.
From my point of view, I think that was the reason at the time, because they also wanted an enemy. Again, you need to create two different sides that fight and war against each other in order to keep people confused and occupied with different things. And in this regard, I think that was why Protestantism was so pushed in the U.S., because they wanted to have it as a clear enemy in one way to Catholicism, and that might even in the long term have led to the takeover of the U.S. I don't know about that, but it feels to me that that's why it's out the door now, because otherwise they would have continued in that tradition. But just as you say, that's gone now, so that to me implies that it was a plan even behind that. Don't know what you think about that, Michael.
Yeah, I agree. And see, don't forget that you may create something as part of your dialectic, but you can't stop the variable, the random factor, which is that after you've created this particular entity, this entity might develop a mind of its own and start to work against your particular design or agenda.
Yes, yes.
See, this is the problem they've also had. I am absolutely convinced that the Catholic Church is even behind the creation of the Illuminati and the Muslim Brotherhood. But that doesn't stop these certain groups from, or certain members within those groups, developing a new strategy and saying, okay, now we don't need you anymore. We're going to cut and separate from you. So there's all sorts of these sort of dynastic squabbles that these people can have. But in an American context, what was happening is America was happy to be, quote-unquote, under the Protestant religion. And I believe, just in general, people can think it, they can mull it over themselves. I believe that they left, just from a purely legalistic point of view, it sounds all high and mighty and wonderfully human when you say that all religions can prosper. In fact, today people take it to their heart as if it's something wonderful. Well, they think a black man being a president is wonderful. Let's see how long that lasts. But the point is that individuals buy into things because it sounds rosy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then they, as I say, these are the methods in which just simply the Constitution was left open. And I believe that was on purpose. Then talking about this black president, Alex Jones made a very good point. He is absolutely clearly aware that because these oligarchs are now moving towards their agenda with much greater speed, they also know that the public is becoming more aware of what they're doing and is likely to backlash against them much more strongly. So what do? the champion of the people, they have to make black so that any criticism of government becomes immediately a racial issue.
Yeah, exactly. That's a beautiful diversion, so to speak, to put that right in there because, go ahead.
So the next time people are sitting down to have a dessert and want to edify themselves with some marvelous concept about how cunning and wonderfully intelligent these people are, just think about how brilliant that was orchestrated. That's your dessert. That's your contemplation. If you ever doubted for a moment how these spiders weave their webs and how in what it means to be a true, you know, geopolitician and a master of sophistry and an incredible social engineer, then there is just even take that one single anecdote that they were able to craft it where they wanted Hillary in, but they didn't do it. They went for the black man instead because he tops her. And knowing of the two of them, it would be much better to put him in because the criticism could be knocked on the head much, much easily once this legitimate criticism, not just from the Ron Pauls and others, you see, but from the masses in general.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it will be nailed on the head. You will not be able to do it because of this fact that the president was black.
So there's a few other points as well in regards to the fall of the Republic that you wanted to address. What about the idea that, you know, what do you think is a reason why they don't go, or Jones doesn't go too much into the background on the control mechanism? Again, I take the point of view at this time, at least, that it's more about making it easy for people. And that might be a faulty tactic at the end of the day. Anyway, I don't know. I mean, it has to be, allowed to going to the surface level in order to get the message out to the masses, and then afterwards maybe you go into the details again, as we mentioned before. But for instance, in regards to the British control mechanism and all this stuff, why do you think that Alex doesn't bring this up, for instance?
I never give that any thought. I just notice that he doesn't. I never get into wondering why people will do this, because then you end up, you're no better than the guy who now blames him for being a Jesuit or blames him for being part of the control system. You know, so I don't look at that. And remember, it's a mixed bag. After all, he did have Webster Tarpley, who's probably one of the leading geniuses on the fact of a British oligarchical control.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, how do we know that, you know, it wasn't edited or they didn't have time or he just doesn't know about it or whatever? Again, I don't waste my energy wondering about that, because what I do with my audience is I tell them where to go.
Yeah.
People, if they want to learn about this, just get on YouTube and type in Dr. John Coleman or come to my forum and, you know, go to the What's New page. We can even link up John Coleman's links to this interview if you want to do that, Henrik.
Yeah, of course. Let's do that.
For people in the books, you know, the Committee of 300 and the Diplomacy by Deception. You have Lyndon LaRouche has done some great work, Webster Tarpley. Stephen, his name, who's also one of the great Webster Tarpley people. What's his name? I can't remember. But there's even G. Edward Griffin and Eustace Mullins have gone down that road and clearly explained how the British oligarchical system, you know, comes into play.
Yeah.
With this, you know, and my work also goes deeply into that because I can identify the enemy. The enemy must be identified, and it's sad that, you know, others don't do it, but there. It is a no-brainer, isn't it, of who on earth is America's enemy? And I'm not talking about the British people. You know, I don't need hate emails from Britons going, "I ain't done nothing. What you blaming me for, mate?"
right.
Because after all, David Icke, is, you know, and many others are what are they? They're from England, aren't they?
Of course, yeah.
So it'd hardly be. I'm not criticizing the man on the street. I'm talking about St. James's Square, Temple Bar, Buckingham Bloody Palace, right?
Yeah.
And the various other institutions. Like we talked about how ancient these people are, that the reason even in the webcast we did on Brotherhood of Death, we even mentioned why Scottish Rite is called Scottish Rite. It's nothing to do with Scotland. It's to do with the Queen of the Milesians, the Queen of the Atonists, Skoda. Right? These people play on words, man. They play on the word rite. They play on the word Freemasonry. There's incredible symbolism in there that people need to realize what's really going on. And wherever you find the movement of this hidden secret hand, I don't care if it's in the Ottoman Empire, like David Livingstone is up to speed on, and he's showing you how that particular Islamic Freemasonic tentacle works, how he shows you beautifully that there is really no true connection between Mithraism and Zoroastrianism that was later on fused together, but has no legitimacy at all.
Yeah.
He talks about how these Kabbalists had set themselves up in Armenia, how the Judaites, just like they converted to Christianity under pressure in Spain, so they also for working ethic, in order to work and to be incognito, they took on the guise of the Muslim cover, you see, And then my work emphasizes that, look, how can you tell me that the same, that the Abrahamic religions of Judaism, isn't it the Muslims are telling you that their own religion goes back to Abraham?
Yeah, they, of course they do. They all do. You know, right. Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Yeah, of course.
Right. Well, then let's call up on the phone right now Ralph Ellis and ask him who the Israelites, like Abraham, Jacob, and Joseph, and Isaac, were.
They were Egyptians.
Exactly, the Hyksos Atenist Egyptians. So if how then you can tell me after knowing that fact that only the Jewish side of Abraham and the Jewish religion is Atenist and Hyksos and Egyptian, but not the Islamic branch?
Yeah, that's right.
It must be insane. It's all Egyptian Atenism. And it's just, again, two tentacles of the Hydra in order to control the rest of the world. You know, they had to control the East. They had to control the West.
Yeah, and again, that would be, you know, again, explain the simple idea of why put an Egyptian pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, et cetera, et cetera. It's all tied in with that idea of thinking. And
hey,
go ahead.
My God, go to a Masonic book or document or online and put in Shriners, or go to Wikipedia and put in the Shriners. They even have a Saracen sword and a fez as their logo.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. So that's the...
So when I talk about this, you know, the Catholic Protestant lie.
Yeah.
That one created the other, or that the Muslim Brotherhood and the Freemason. See, look, in Freemason lodges, you have that tolerance of all religion.
Yeah, that's right. Of course, the believer in a higher deity or the grand architect, or you just have to have an allegiance to one of the religions, basically. That's the creed, right, to get in there or something, isn't it?
It's all the same. No matter what you're coming from, in the Masonry, they know it's all illegitimate. What you have today working in the world, perhaps, is that the Vatican is so strong, the religions of the world know that they're dying. The Catholic Protestant religion is dying throughout the world. Don't let this thing with Bush and the new evangelism, you know, fool people.
And that's the opposite effect, Michael. Sorry to cut you off, but that actually has the effect of bringing people further away from it, because these people were identified with Christianity, or they believed in Jesus or God or the Christian Bible, so they say, of course, on the surface. But a consequence of that, because so many people hate the Bush regime, the latest one, they actually step away from all of this instead, right? That's the tactics there.
This is the idea. And don't forget that when they feel that their particular cabal, their particular cult is waning, the demographic is slipping, all they've got to do is now activate the sleepers, which in this case is the jihadists.
Yeah.
Because on paper, the jihadists and the extremist Islamites are always telling you that they're superior because they have morals and they have virtue, they've got family ethics, and they believe in God. What is the inevitable response of the Western man to that particular threat, if it's put before you as a threat, is to say, yeah, we're going to end up dead if we don't get back to some virtues, some family ethics, and all the rest of it. Which means what, ultimately? Going back and becoming, walking back to the churches again is what it means.
And on top of that as well, Michael, we can even mention that, for instance, people now who are being or up for being tried and probably sentenced to the death penalty for the World Trade Center disaster, like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, he's been in CIA custody for over 3 years. People don't even know where he was. What if they did their MKUltra program on that guy, and now he comes out, of course, to admit all of these atrocities and take responsibility for us? But what do we know what program he's been run under? You know what I mean? So on top of that, we have these programs running where a lot of extremist Muslims are actually mind-controlled drones that are running around doing a lot of these atrocities to perpetuate this war between Islam and Christianity.
I believe that. I've never had a problem accepting that. Once you've done the homework and the research, you find out that the people who, the very divisions of the countries in the Asia Minor and the Middle East were divided by the British government after the Second World War. The sheikhs of Saudi Arabia are British agents. Saddam Hussein was in with the CIA, right? The Kurds have been used as a fifth columnist by the Western British intelligence for many, many decades. The Armenian genocide was orchestrated by the Jewish control of the Turks. You see, who are also in league with the British.
Yeah.
Who were educated in Oxford and Cambridge, who've been working with Winston Churchill and the British. There's a group called the Young Turks. Just go in and look on Wikipedia under Young Turks. And this is the Macy's chain is linked originally to these people. And how all of these individuals, because they work with Britain during the First and Second World War, they were given huge tracts of land that didn't belong to them. They were given enormous amount of money. They were allowed to have investments in the Western big corporations, and they were ingratiated for centuries. And now it's their offspring, their children and their children's children, the children of the Rothschilds, the children of the Sassoons, the Warburgs, the Schiffs, and so many other groups, and even a lot of the Islamic Brotherhoods. These individuals are now controlling and put into positions of great, great power. Now, although they do have rival dynasties, when Big Brother cracks the whip, they all fall into line. One of the reasons, as I said, because is Western religion is on its death knell. So one of the best ways to get people running back to the churches is to create all sorts of horrors and anxieties in the external world, and people, as a sort of a knee-jerk, safe route, will go back to orthodox forms of religion. Or it could be an all-out desire to just literally create Third World War, in which there is these calamities of the racial war and the religious war starting up. So, you know, people can make up their own mind about it.
Well, I think that is actually exactly what is going on now, because the incredible ramp up and conflict that seems to be building up in terms of the, well, let's not even talk about China, how they are being propped up, and from my point of view, by Western money again, of course, and, you know, built up to be the world's most powerful army. They have a standing army of 2.8 million soldiers, Michael, you know. On top of that, we have India gearing up with the conflict in Pakistan. There's a lot of these geopolitical little games that are going on back and forth. But I would agree with you there, and I think that this actually has to do with the creation of the Third World War and global conflict again, in order to like the final push to bring in the New World Order, because they did it with the aid of World War One and Two in order to create bigger unions. The European Union is an excuse spawned out of Second World War, of course, you know, and so probably a Third World War would be the tactic in order to make it finally a global empire, the whole planet. That's what I believe at this point.
And then again, because I 100% agree with that, and then let's also tie it back to the psychology. When, because I believe that all conflicts, as I said in the beginning, are ultimately on the psyche of man, even if they turn out to be wars or racial wars or religious wars,
yeah.
Ultimately it's about the control of the human consciousness. It's about creating the herd mentality and the hive mentality, and also creating that allegiance. People are literally waiting for the tiger to lead them out of the jungle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what will happen when people are so afraid, you see, that their own reason shuts down because of trauma. And tie back psychology into it. In the mass, what happens? The individual loses his identity. He becomes anonymous. He becomes invisible. He becomes impotent to a certain extent. On top of that, he also allows the leader to take the blame. Now, if genocide and murder takes place, he goes, hey, I had nothing to do with it.
I only voted for the guy. You know?
Yeah, the tiger. Blame the tiger. We only followed.
Yeah.
So there's a tremendous psychological safety in numbers, in the whole idea of the collective. The collective, this is what Ayn Rand warned about for so long, that she said that, you know, it's a question of man sacrificing his own identity. We talked about other reasons what might happen around 2012, but if a Third World War scenario sort of does break out, it will also exacerbate man basically giving up his humanity.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Alex Jones did talk about one thing. He said that the military in various countries is becoming so anonymous. I know that's even true in Sweden, your country,
yeah.
Is where the police, it's not the police, but the army is no longer even answerable to the government anymore. They've almost become a secret society.
Well, that haven't heard about that here, but it's definitely waning and on the way out, because, again, we know that at least from the point of view of being a country of the European Union, that's where they want to have the army, yeah. And probably because of this future World War, they want to have a strong European army instead now. So a national army is not wanted at this point in time.
Well, look, what is the thing that causes the most conservatism? People become very right-wing, to use a political jargon. They become conservative when they feel that the essence of their lifestyle or their so-called civilization or culture is being threatened by some hideous, bizarre, you know, exotic religion or some other threat outside.
Yeah.
All they got to do is throw up a few movies or documentaries showing the bravery of the Templars who, you know, held back the Muslim horde at Vienna and at other great cities in the ancient past, and the great sacrifices. And this will galvanize the entire Western world into this consensus of let's destroy the infidel.
Yeah, yeah.
The other crowd feel exactly the same way. And isn't it interesting that under that guise, when you're threatened actually by something, and of course part of this is the unlimited immigration of these immigrants, which I'm no favor of, but leaving that aside, what galvanizes a public more? What spurs them to cast aside all their liberalism and all of their little socialisms faster than when you have a Goliath ready to come as you know, the propaganda posters of Lenin and Germany tearing up your children and raping your wives and what have you?
Yeah, yeah.
This is always thrown up, you know, and it works on that sort of, you know, spirit of violence that's inherent in everyone. What galvanizes people into the whole consensus, which isn't that tantamount to creating the global village? Isn't that tantamount to creating the whole communitarian sort of global village when everybody's of one mind? Yeah. What galvanizes people faster than war? Even the warmongers alone will tell you that you can accomplish more in 15 years of war than you can in 1 year of peace.
Yeah. It's incredible, isn't it? And so...
Now...
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Well, one last point is the psychological point. You can't do... Remember we talked about earlier on about the various reasons why the big government does what it does and how it... what the relationship in the Danse Macabre is, and that particular relationship between a human being's psyche and how the world, their world, comes into being, is based also on identification.
Yeah, identification. Gotcha.
I just wanted to make one comment about that.
Okay.
Is that the masters of the game can't even hope for what they want. They can't ever attain their goals without that particular kind of identification from taking place. And it's an identification with the alien strain, right? Mm-hmm. If people have read my Atlantis book, they'll know what I mean by that. Yeah. But again, without even going into that whole concept of the Nephilim and the alien, if we just look at it this way, it's an identification with the master, because the master is the master. He's in control. He gives you your security, and ultimately you hate his guts. But it's a strange quirk of human nature that the thing that you hate the most, you only have two potential reactions to it, which is either completely leave it, completely resist it, you see, and become the opposite of it, or if the climate is right, you identify with it. It's called identification with the object of your hate.
Mm. Well, isn't that simply because what you hate, it's actually because it is you ultimately? Because again, if we go back to that quote by Carl Jung at the beginning, that humanity does anything to avoid actually looking at themselves. So you attract that part of yourself by actually hating yourself. It's weird and it's a quirk, as you say, but
yes.
You know, that's what happens, right?
It's all based on self-hate. And you know what else? The master himself is in self-hate.
Hmm.
Because anybody who craves that kind of power is inwardly impotent.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The man who craves power over another is inherently weak.
Yeah.
I talk about this so often when I talk about the solutions of how you're going to defeat these people and learn these psychological principles. But anyway, I mean, it's a simple, you know, principle of martial arts or whatever you want to call it. But then going back to what we were saying, the thing is this, that identification isn't a positive identification. It's often an identification, like we say, with the object of the hate, because as you say, there's something we loathe ourselves. We've learned that, but we also are sort of having we have this sort of morbid, perverse respect of the power that the master wields, just like a child has with the father or the authority figure.
Maybe that's because we wish that we had that amount of power or something like that. We wish that we were in this position where we could govern and ultimately be in control and be, in one sense, from our point of view, in more in balance, you know, more free, actually, in one sense. I don't know.
No, it's true. That is, in fact, confirmed on a daily basis with the Adolf Eichmann concept or syndrome, in which it is the petty tyrant under the main tyrant who actually goes and does the worst crimes of all.
Hmm. That's interesting.
Right? He's not only identified with the mega tyrant, but remember, it's like the worm tongue. In order to be sycophantic, in order to be welcomed and given a bigger bowl of gruel than the next slave, that slave will go out and murder mercilessly in order to get that favor.
Hmm.
Once the identification is secure, then you have a huge, huge problem. You not only don't have freedom, like what Bergson and people are talking about, you have now the ultimate form of little Hitler fascism.
Yeah, yeah.
In which these people will run amok and do whatever they do. And these are the worker bees who are basically going and collecting the mud that will become the bricks that will become the incarcerated, you know, global village. It's all the worker ants who are going around in this mind-controlled way, both on a big level and on a small level, because there's nothing in this world more mind-controlling than the principles of religion.
Well,
and as I said in the beginning, people have the perfect opportunity to be studying those things right now.
Exactly. These people are on a power trip in that sense, while they're, you know, building the prison planet, pretty much in that sense. They're building the global panopticon, and they think that they're getting, you know, ahead because of they're in that situation where they can do that.
What you see, you have here's a quote from a brilliant book called The Machine in Our Heads. It's by Glenn Parton, and he's talking about this identification. He said, "We have internalized our masters, which is a well-known psychological response to trauma. When faced with overwhelming terror, the human mind splits, with part of itself modeling itself after the oppressor. This is an act of appeasement. Look, the mind is saying, I'm like you, so don't harm me."
That is incredible.
Or as I said, reward me. But he's saying and he's probably more accurate, don't harm me. I'm like you. I identify with you. And I can be just as ruthless and cruel as you can be. This is the very reason why battered women remain with their husbands.
Right, right. Is that also a way for us, in a weird way, to try to understand them? We identify with them because we want to try to figure out what they actually are all about in one way. And the easiest way, which is in one weird way, difficult way of doing it, of course, but it is to become that ourselves. And when we do that, we have an opportunity to really study that type of personality. Or is it something else going on here, Michael?
Well, it's part of what you say, and it's also connected to the inverted tree of the inauthentic life. You have the justifications, which is what I'm really talking about here, is that people justify tyranny. And if you put up an enemy at the gates, then that justification matters all the more. Now, all forms of justifications are done because you have that whipping boy, you see, that you can blame.
Yeah, exactly.
Then comes the denial, then comes denial of denial, and then comes blame. There's other ones as well, but those four are crucial. Justification, denial, denial of denial, and blame. And the ego uses those. The ego is the entity that projects the shadow in the first place, that refuses to do the inner work, that throws into darkness what we call the unconscious. I don't know if people have realized this, but there is no such thing as the unconscious. It's all consciousness. It's just that the way that the ego has set up its lighthouse, the way it wields its torch, it throws a great deal of our... Imagine it's like a landscape in an eclipse or a flashlight in a darkened room. You only see what you see in the light. If there's an eclipse... So we have an entire topography, an inner psychic landscape, but the way that the ego has set up the all-seeing eye, its own sort of... its own inner tyranny, you're only able to see a certain amount of consciousness at a particular time, and we've learned to call that consciousness and the other stuff unconscious. If the light went on, like the big light, we'd be laughing at our stupidity, that it's all one gigantic topography.
Right.
And of course, people that we call artists and poets and whatnot, they do have a little more diffuse light, and they are able to negotiate and have adventures, and they're able to communicate with larger areas of that particular consciousness. But no man today has full communion with that unbroken consciousness.
And that probably as well then, Michael, is because we're afraid of what we might find. We don't want to turn on the big light, because that little fractured and traumatized part of ourselves, which is holding that little flashlight or torch that you're talking about, is scared of what it might find there, and if it's more powerful than it, in a way, right?
Well, this is the key of, you've just hit on then the key of all of my work, really. And what my one of my main messages is because that, as we showed in the little diagram that I had at the LA talk, between the persona and the self, which is the enlightened state, is the shadow. And the shadow is all the things that you have learned to hate about yourself. So my work goes into how you've come to hate those. Are those aspects of you that you've discarded really worth discarding? Are they worthy of your hate? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. Let's look at that. Who taught you to do this? And all of the above, not only connecting to the fact that then you're projecting them onto other people. And so the solutions and all, you know, my work on 2012 and other subjects looks into this question then of what will it take for a man to actually begin to work towards the shadow work, and what will it take for him to unite with his real selfhood? You certainly don't do it by karate kicking the ego out of existence. That's not what I mean. You walk together. You use the ego and its power in a certain way. But how do you even begin that? Well, the great philosopher Figulus, he said that bodies cannot be changed except by reduction to first matter. He's basically talking in an alchemical language there about progress is actually not what you think. And I often talk in my work about the catabolic and anabolic, or Shiva and Shakti, or yin and yang, or Nagual and Tonal, prolific and devouring, masculine and feminine. You know, I talk about the chemical divorce and the chemical marriage, the chemical wedding.
Yeah.
In other words, before you can have the chemical wedding, you need to go through the chemical divorce. You need to burn down to carbon. You need to reduce all things to first matter. And from that, the phoenix arises to go on to the higher. The Western understanding, which is again follows on from all the false religion that we've got and the false science, is that you gain something by progress. You start where you are and you just continue to acquire and acquire and acquire and acquire. But you see, what people don't understand is that's okay in academic world. That's okay in the exoteric world. That's okay in the mechanical world. It is not okay in the occult and spiritual world. It's certainly not okay in psychological terms. D.H. Lawrence put it another way, the great novelist. He said that, are you willing to be sponged out, erased, canceled, made nothing? Are you willing to be made nothing and dipped into oblivion? If not, you will never really change. Even though that sounds morbid and horrible, you know, over the gate of hell, you know, when Dante is going into it, it says, abandon all hope, all ye who enter here.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. So this is the fear that blocks people from going into the darkness and doing the shadow work, because they don't understand that there's missing pieces of their own self there. It's the journey of self-discovery. And this is what blocks the ego, you see, from doing it. The ego is put up like sort of a, if you will, a electric fence, which is fear. Fear or anxiety is the electric fence that prevents a man from walking on the Siddhartha road to go to the 0 degrees longitude, 0 degrees latitude of his own consciousness to find the peace and tranquility that exists there.
Solve et coagula, that's what you're talking about. Dissolve and put it back together again. And in one way, interestingly enough then as well, this is also what we see on the macrocosm level of this. This is what we also see in the geopolitical sphere of the world. They drag us down into these deep abyss, a deep kind of abyss, which is World War II or maybe an upcoming World War III, and they do that in order to reshape society and mold that into what they want to do with it. So they know about the alchemical and natural processes, if you will, because they know that that's the way to work with things, right? In a weird kind of way.
They are absolutely up to speed on all of this, even from a historical point of view. They're even this is why they use the sidereal astrologies and the divination and so forth and so on. But the one last point about the shadow work is this, and it was brought up by Carl Jung. He says it many times, and I can sort of put it into my own words. People have a resistance to working with the unconscious or their dream state or whatever you want to call it, or doing the shadow work, is because the unconscious has a strange property, Henrik. Whatever face you turn towards it, it reflects. What I mean by that is if you turn the face of fear to the unconscious, you'll meet demons.
Right, right.
This is in alchemy, it's in magic, it's in divination, it's also in psychology, and it's a fact of life. It even happens in the world in one-to-one relationships. If you turn a smiling, fearless, empowered, loving face, so to speak, onto your own unconscious or onto any mystery, you will be met by angels. The so-called demon turns into your greatest friend. This is what religion has never understood. They have this dualistic understanding, and that's it. It's just rigid, where in fact it's not like that at all. And you see, we are now living, you know, we've often talked before about the planet Pluto.
Yeah, that's right.
Pluto comes in right now, the Age of Awakening comes in right now to help people do the shadow work, but it does it with a kick in the ass. It's not a very, nice guest to have in your house because he just smashes the china up.
But it's a necessary guest to get some change into the place.
That's right, definitely. He's gonna complain about the wallpaper, he's going to complain about the sofa, he hates what's on TV, he'll ask for things you don't have in the shelves. You know, whatever you put in, he won't like it. The bed will be uncomfortable. The shower will be too cold. But what happens is he's there to help you repair your life. What I mean by that is in society today, all the sort of horrible things that are happening are taking place because those are providing the actual, in the long term, in the broader picture, they're allowing man to suddenly realize how impotent he really is, how lack of control he has in his own life, both physically, biologically, and most importantly, psychologically. We have a chance now to start looking to the real work. You can always blame a child for being afraid of the dark, but how can you permit an adult to be afraid of the light?
Yeah.
Meaning the true light, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we don't have adults. We have infantile people who have been sorely arrested by the fake governments and the religions of the world. Now, with presence of Pluto and the Age of Awakening, what happens is man is finally getting his opportunity to mature. Many people have always lamented the fact that man is so psychologically arrested. Well, guess what? Awakening time, unveiling time is here. So the people who really, really do want to commit and have been waiting for this time, they have nothing whatever to fear. In psychological terms, if you show a face of fear to the world or to the unconscious or to any other person or anything in your life, you will be disabled. And the force, Big Brother, wants you to be disabled. That's why it's causing all these havocs and these meltdowns, is because it absolutely needs you to be in a state of total fear so that you will foolishly believe that the tiger will lead you out of the woods.
Hmm. Well, people are grown-ups, as Fredrik said, not they're not adults in that way, and now is the opportunity to at least begin to try to be an adult and not just a grown-up in that sense. And if we just spend the last two or so minutes here, Michael, again, on maybe you can just comment on this idea that analyzing the reasons for the problem is the solution. If we want to just end things on the solution-oriented point of view, that just looking and studying the problems of life, I guess, as we're talking about here, is part of the solution, right?
Yes, and again, just going back full circle, the solution from my point of view is to always bear in mind that consciousness cannot be left at the door. People have to disengage from these tigers, be very critical of what they're doing. Alex even said it in the Fall of the Republic, get together, you know, doubt and stand against these people. This is the moment to do it. And I would add to that, just, you know, continue to realize what Jung said. He said, your vision will become clear only when you look into your heart. Who looks outside is dreaming. Who looks inside awakens. You must also bear in mind that you have, you know, an inner world, and it is the furniture of that inner world. It is the organization of that republic. If you don't have the inner order, you're going to demand it from your leaders outside. If you have the inner order, you're going to be truly free. It's as simple as that. It's about shadow work. It's about discovering your own self. It's about, you know thyself, like it says in the Oracle at Delphi. It's written in the Book of John. It's written in the Bible. You know, and the Gnostics asked people to examine themselves. There is no greater journey. There is no greater way out of it. The only way out of it is to do what people are doing right now. $650 million are spent on pills, you know, sleeping pills. Mm-hmm. People can turn off in all of, like we said, the inauthentic ways. The most horrific way of turning off is not even the pharmaceuticals or watching TV. It's following Big Brother.
Yeah.
The most horrific way of losing selfhood, becoming anonymous, and denying your own inner work is to follow the controllers towards this, you know, technotronic purgatory that they're ready to create for you, this incredible decorated, furnished incarceration.
And that is indeed coming, by the way. Michael, as a way of rounding things up here for us then for this time, please let us know about your website so people know where to go to find out more about your work and what you're doing.
Well, again, the latest thing that we're doing together is Architects of Control. Program 1's available on architectsofcontrol.com. And all my other websites, including the forum, people can get to just by going to michaeltessarian.com. I've got a lot of new stuff on the forum over this whole rising of the Muslim Brotherhood and jihadism. There's a lot of great links there. People really need to check that out. And again, you know, we're getting a lot of contributions from all around the world and really positive feedback about what we're doing. So I'm really confident about the Architects of Control program and other projects that we're doing. But again, if people want to go and read the Weapons of Mass Destruction or the Constitution Con articles, they can just go straight to the Michael Tessarian website, click on Next, and they'll see the articles there.
Absolutely, and we will have these linked up on redaskcreations.com as well, some of the articles that we mentioned today and referenced, and as well, of course, check out Origins and oracles.com for Michael's excellent DVD series. Again, the main website, michaeltesarion.com, and the project that we're currently involved in is called architectsofcontrol.com. Go there to find out more information about that. Excellent having you back, Michael. Thank you so much. Keep up the great work, and we will talk more soon, I hope. Have you back soon.
I really enjoyed it, and you know, it's always wonderful to be on. So thanks a lot for the invitation, Henrik. Appreciate it.
Thank you. That's our program with Michael Tesarion. Thank you for joining us. Sign up for a Red Ice membership. The website is redicecreations.com. You'll get full access to our archives with radio interviews, webcasts, video interviews, and films. We'll be back soon with more radio and video material on important educational and controversial topics. We go far and wide, and we're not afraid to go where the information leads us. Highlight truth when we see it, but also speculate and exercise our freedom of thought when necessary. My thanks to Fredrik and Elizabeth. Take good care, and we will talk more soon. Bye-bye.